All right, welcome back to PoleParticking.com, your home for self-help meets hip-hop. Right now, we're live on YouTube. Check us out on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple. 1212 and place to be with Aaliyah. How you doing?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm good. And I see you go by Robot Girl.
Yes, Robot Girl.
Why is that?
Couple reasons. One, it was kind of a nickname that one of my friends gave to me because I'm studying robotics and that's one of my passions in life. And so I spend a lot of time behind my computer working in different labs, doing things like that. And so a lot of my friends and people who knew me used to call me a robot. And so that name just kind of evolved and got stuck with me.
All right. So let me know about your background. How did you get into computer, I guess that what, computer technology, computer science?
A little bit of everything. You know, growing up, like, I was very into reading and I liked to read a lot of sci-fi, but then I was also very hands-on. So, you know, I would play Legos and build things and little even the Bionicles. Like, I would build the Bionicles for my brothers and they would play with the Bionicles. And then when I got around middle school and started doing more science fairs, it would always be tech related. And at one point in middle school, I got chosen between me and one other student got chosen from Georgia. They picked two people per state to go out to a special event at the Houston Center of NASA. And when I went out there, you know, I got astronauts and CEOs and like all these big people. And it happened to be the same year WALL-E came out. We had this dinner, and at the dinner we all watched WALL-E. So I'm sitting in there with astronauts and watching WALL-E, and it was like at that moment I was like, I'm going to build robots that go to space, save the Earth, and are cute and adorable. So that's what I that kind of led me into this, and ever since I've just had my eyes on the stars and on technology. So I moved to Arizona for school initially. My associate's in robotic engineering, and then I recently went to San Francisco to finish. You know, I figured Silicon Valley would be a great place to be, being with like other tech people. So I went out there to finish my degree in machine learning, and now because everything got so crazy, I left there, went back to Arizona. So now I'm working at Intel, but the passion for me is wanting to build this future, wanting to utilize the things that I've learned and make them into a physical reality, and then to take us to space with cool robot companions.
So you already made robots?
I've made a few. I don't think I have any with me. Well, I have probably one like broken over in the corner somewhere. I've made a few. Some of them I've made from kits like that you can buy online. Some of them I've made from scratch where I just get pure resistors. I get a soldering iron. I get a blank board. Just put them on. You should test it so it doesn't blow up. hook it up to my computer, do all the hard coding myself, and then it works. After several times of not working, it eventually will work. So
what do you think about, like, how they always have in the movies, like, robots and they become cyborgs and they take over the people?
Do I think that's, like, a thing? Yeah. Yes.
Is that possible? Well, you could say no, but...
No, I think... As much as people would think I say no, I actually do think it'll happen. It's this weird thing because it's... I think it'll happen, but I'm also still building them. It's really weird. If you've seen iRobot, it's kind of like that guy who founded all the robots. He wanted to make them for something good. He believes in them ultimately, and they kind of go a little nuts. I think the evil robots, quote unquote, are the exception to the rule. There's that idea of the Asimov's three laws, which basically come down to the idea that humans can't, or robots can't hurt humans if you program them to not hurt humans. Because at the end of the day, they're supposed to do what we tell them to, right? But as technology has been growing, we've been giving it this learning. And when it does so, you know, it does go into those sci-fi aspects where it's like, what will stop it from learning that it's smarter than us or faster or stronger than us? I do think that it is very possible. It's one of those things I think just needs really heavy regulation on, because we do, you know, there's this thing called the Turing test. And what it was a test where people would judge and they would listen to voices talk, and they would have to see if they could tell the difference between the robots and the humans. If they couldn't tell the difference, the robots passed the test, and who knows what'll happen in the future. But a few years ago, that happened where I forget the name of the robot, but you couldn't tell the difference between a robot voice and a human voice anymore. Similar, there are machines out there that look human-like, who think like humans. There's Google's Deep Dream, where it looks like a robot is dreaming. So I do think that this is a very possible thing. And on the optimistic side, once again, I think that is up to the people who are making them to make them in such a way that they won't turn on humans. And part of that is, I'll say, being sympathetic and empathetic to them, because on one side, yes, they are machines that we created. But when you think about it, if you give it intelligence, but you're only forcing it to do what you want, then of course they're going to be mad. Like this with humans, if there was another human and we forced it to do something it didn't want to do or made it do something forever, it's going to be mad and revolt. Same with robots. So I think as they get smarter, we have to find a way to integrate them into being like an extension of us rather than like something that purely serves us. And I think that'll help stop something like that. On the less optimistic side, something like that happens, I'm like, hey, I built the robots. So maybe they'll be nice to me because I helped make them. So it's interesting being in technology in times like these right now.
What do you think about if they had robots that took over the police force or the military force?
We would be in trouble. I don't see that happening.
We'll be in more trouble than we is now with the police.
Yeah, I think so. Because,
I
I
think
mean, in a lot of ways, no, because things are pretty crazy right now. So, in a lot of ways, no. But the problem is the reason I think it would be worse, right, is the people who would make war machine bots. Are not us usually. They're not the lower class people. They'll be the really higher class, which is the problem now. So if these higher class people program these robots to do what they want them to do and from their perspective rather than what needs to be done for the whole, right? It'll make the same issue. But right now, the police, they're human. They're vulnerable per se. They can only do so much, right? If the police force was robots, then shooting them may not do anything. Fighting, pushing back against them won't work. They're stronger than us. They're made of something
Hey,
different than us.
RoboCop. Remember RoboCop?
I haven't actually seen RoboCop, but I know of RoboCop. There's surprisingly.
You're not related to RoboCop?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought you RoboCop, RoboGirl. I thought y'all was related or some shit.
I would. If you've ever seen Chappie, Chappie is like my goal in the future is to make a robot like that. Where
I was
it's a
like
really
about
cool.
the I saw something about CGI. So I saw this thing and it was like right before the holidays for Britain. And so it was like Queen Elizabeth, she did her regular speech. And then it was like this channel in Britain, like they always do another speech every year for the celebrities. So this time what they did, they had Queen Elizabeth do it again. But basically the whole time it was CGI. So they basically was trying to show you the people like the importance of not believing everything they see on TV. Cause it was like, it looked like her to the very end. So at the very end, they made her start like dancing a certain way where you knew it wasn't her. But then they took everything down. So it was like a green screen and it was like another woman. And they had everything looking just like the queen, but it was another woman behind a green screen looking like her. So it was like almost like you can't really believe anything. It was just basically showing you like you can't believe everything you see in the media sometimes.
And that is true. That's, I think, the idea of the media is a whole nother conversation. But definitely with that, this is a technology that came out at least 3 years ago. So I do remember hearing about it back then. And I know they have more commercial versions of it now where you can like download an app and put your face on top of like an
Yeah, and
actor.
people are
Yeah.
doing it like idiots.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're
people
right.
do that all the time. But I was like, I don't think you understand the technology behind that is you know, there are things with that technology. And I saw, I forget the link to it. If I could find the site, I'll send it. But I know I saw one where someone got a speech from like the modern day, right? And then they put the words onto like Kennedy's speech. And so they made Kennedy realistically say something that happened now. And so if you looked at that video, you would think that, you know, decades ago they were saying that, but because it looks so realistic, but that's not what actually happened. So I do think technology like that. And that's the thing about technology, is it's like in every sci-fi movie, you don't want it to fall into the wrong hands. And that's ultimately technology right now, is it's such a powerful thing that really can move us into like safety and into, you know, these really cool things that we can have in life. But if it goes in the wrong hands, then it can just change everything for the bad. And like you said, with the police, even beyond the physical bodies of a robot, you know, if we had a force of robots, right, against us, then what's to stop them from like hacking into like cars? Everyone has, well, not everyone, people have smart cars, hacking into smart cars and making them not work, into phones, into computers, you know, not to like say that it would be a full dystopia, but something like that I think would be a lot worse than what we would have now, because it would still be the same problems of institutionalism and systematic problems, but also with the aspect of overwhelming technology on top of which.
And then I think you were talking about space earlier. So I saw this documentary one day and they were saying that whole NASA shit was fake. And then the reason behind it, I was like, okay, whatever. But then the part what made me kind of think more about it is, I guess NASA is saying they don't have none of the technology to get back to the moon. And I'm like, how do y'all don't have any of that technology when that shit happened in the 60s? So that lets me, to me, I'm like, they probably didn't land on the moon. Because it was even a movie talking about how they faked the whole thing. It was talking about how they made it, like, they basically did all that shit in a movie set or something. Did you hear about that?
I've heard a lot of things about this. So me and NASA, we have interesting relations right now because, like I said, I've always wanted to work for them from a child till now. And of course, that was like before SpaceX was a thing. And of course, you know, now as I get older, I'm like, they're a government organization. I probably don't want to work for them. But I do know people who do work for them. And they've given me firsthand accounts. And I've been there myself in lots of behind the scenes labs and training facilities to see things myself. But the people I know who work there more officially have looked at their archives and records and seen actual video of these things happening. So I'm a little less likely to believe the conspiracies. Now, not to say they're not true, because anything can be faked, as we just talked about, right? But in terms of the technology, I don't think it was a matter of that. I think it was just prioritization. You know, they're a government organization. They're just like how technology evolves faster during times of war. Technology evolves faster in times of space exploration. A lot of things that we have now on the day-to-day, even like non-stick pans, the part of the pan that makes it not stick is a result of heat shields on rockets. And it just got to a point where it was so cheap that it could be put on like pots in your house. So in that regard, I really don't think it's fake. And, you know, I just did a show before this talking about space and time and things like that. The Artemis mission that they're doing now, which is to get us to Mars, there's the technology for that. You know, it's just a matter of resources, because you have to get to the moon first, make a base there, find water, and then go to Mars. So it's costly of time, of money, resources. The Earth is already in dire straits. We don't want to be taking too many resources from it, even if it is to build somewhere else. So I won't say it's like they didn't have the technology. I think they just were putting the resources elsewhere until now, for whatever. I don't know why now all of a sudden, but I think they're putting it towards something else.
So what about aliens? I like to talk about aliens too.
Yes, I do believe in aliens.
Because now, I believe in like how they say it's a, you know, other on other galaxies, but then sometimes I'm like, man, some of these people, like regular ass people, are aliens. Shit, they act like they're aliens. So I believe in aliens, like Martians, but then just weirdo alien people. They might be, I don't know now.
I'm going to say in two regards, I'll answer both of those. So in terms of like people aliens, I don't know. I can't fully say because I've been called an alien because I'm just so like, okay. I've been called alien robot, all sorts of things, just because I don't, the normal things people think about and care about, I don't really care about. I care about technology, the future. I care about science. I care about moving forward in life and growth and progress. But a lot of people don't think about those type of things on the day to day. And so they find it as weird and alien. Really, alien just means different at the end of the day. So on a normal sense, I do think people like that exist. In terms of like outer space aliens disguising as humans, I don't know about that. I don't know about that one. It's possible. Anything's possible. If 2020 and 2021 have proved, anything's possible.
What's Area 51 then?
Area 51?
Yep.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff in there. I don't know what's in there, but it's definitely smart. I mean, even the last year, I mean, I'm sure we didn't recall this because so much crazy stuff happened last year. Mm-hmm. But last year, the government did release files saying that aliens existed. And they gave proof.
Yeah, they've been doing it ever since all the shit happening. They've been coming out saying it.
Yeah, it's just so much other stuff going on that people are just like, eh. Or they are so caught up in like day-to-day low-level things that they don't think about this or care. But
I was even reading like back in the day, like I guess like it was like one time, I guess like I want to say it was like in the 40s in LA, they said it was like basically like you couldn't even like deny it. It was an obvious UFO. They think it was even an attack. But then they were saying, I guess it was a spacecraft that crashed and like it was in like the Roswell area. And they were saying, like, basically every time these crashes happen, that's where we get all this technology from.
I mean, I could see it, to be honest. And it makes sense. As a scientist and a researcher, if I saw something fall from space and I happen to be able to get within range to, like, mess with it, of course I'm going to mess with it. I'm a reverse engineer, take that thing apart. And, like, of course. So it makes sense. And yeah, like even here, I'm in Arizona, there's what's called the Phoenix Lights, where if you go outside, occasionally you'll see like these weird lights in the sky. Who knows? And there have been all sorts of stuff over time. But in terms of like actual aliens out in the universe, I feel like there's no way there can't be. Like I said, I just did a show that I host. And today we were talking about like space and how big it is, right? When you really look at how big the universe is, there's statistically, it's impossible. It depends, of course, on your definition of life. Are we talking about humans? Are we talking about single cell organisms? Is our definition of life the same as like, you know, there's a movie called Apollo 8 where the aliens were like rock monsters, you know? So it depends on how you define it. But there are other planets out there that look and operate just like Earth's. I think Kepler 22b is this bigger planet that is almost identical to Earth. So if that's the case, you would think statistically that there will be a chance that there will be other creatures there that might be like us, or at least living, you know, even if it's fish in the ocean. And then with all the other planets and stars and galaxies and nebulas and all these things out there, like I just personally can't see how some other life form wouldn't exist, especially with as long as the galaxy has existed and as long as going to exist. There's just no way in my mind. Now, mind you, are they like Thanos with their giant ships trying to conquer the galaxy? I highly doubt that, but I do think they're out there, and I'm pretty sure they would have visited us, you know, as evidence
seems
to prove they have.
Have you ever heard? I was listening one time, people were saying, like basically, like our life is just like we're living a simulation and we don't know it.
Do I believe that we're living in a simulation?
Yeah, what's your definition? You were talking about your definition of life might be different. So, what's your interpretation of life?
Oh, that's deep. As I always tell people, reality is reality regardless of how you perceive it. I think we all perceive life differently. We all have our definitions of like how we interact with it. For me, it's a journey. It's all about growth and not only becoming my better self, but building something for the future, because I know how small we are. That's the beauty of being into technology and time and space, is you get a really good grasp of how small you are in the universe and how little time we have here compared to how long time exists. But the beauty of that is it's like, once you understand that, things don't affect you in the same way. You don't get mad as often. You don't freak out and get stressed because it's like, this is nothing, you know, compared to what actually could be happening. And it gives you the ability to slow down. Like, you're not always going to be rushing with things because you're like, I only have this much time on Earth. While I do want to utilize that to build something else and create the future and inspire others, I also want to enjoy this time because this is the only time that I may have. Yeah, I don't know if that answered your question. I went on a tangent there.
So you don't believe in like reincarnation or nothing?
A little bit. It's a little weird for me, and it's still an evolving thing that I'm working on. Is I came from the South. I grew up in South Atlanta, small town of Fairburn, Georgia, and it's a very religious area. They're very Christian. But me, I'm a scientist, but those beliefs are still kind of there. So it's this weird blend for me of like science and religion working on a concrete. But the idea of reincarnation, I don't know if I fully believe it, but I want to. Like, it's something I would want to be. I don't, you know, the idea of going to one place for the rest of eternity is so large and so long that I just, for one, we as humans can't truly comprehend how long eternity is. But also, like, being in one place for that long would just drive you nuts anyway. So I like the idea of when this life is over to be reincarnated as someone else or as myself in a different body. But to fully say if I 100% believe it, I don't know. I don't have proof. The science part of me is like, I need proof, and I don't have proof, but it's wishful thinking that it is a true thing for me. I would love to come back to Earth as myself and be able to do even more if I can, you know.
You're gonna come back as a robot.
I've thought about, I was like, I definitely see myself being a robot, but that might be cooler, you know. I would have so much power. I can make so many things, understand so much.
I'll say, what were you saying? And you kept talking about your show. So what's the name of your show?
Oh, it's called Electric Vision Entertainment, Eve for short, because Eve is the name of the robot from WALL-E. I advertised it on my Instagram, which is at robotgal, but it's the actual link is like twitch.tv/mixschool. And it's something I do for my school as an ambassador, just to like, you know, share my knowledge. I feel like, what's the point of having knowledge if you're not going to do anything with it? You know, whether it's making something that others can use, or whether it's just, you know, talking and, you know, enlightening people or sharing my opinions, sharing their opinions. What's the point of learning all this stuff if you're not going to do nothing with it? So really what I do on there is just, like I said, today, we looked at some visuals and talked about like how large is time and how big is it and how big is space and all these really like big ideas. But other times we might like build robots or do like coding contests. I'll like teach you how to do like web design. Depends on the week, or interview other people in technology and talk about like their growth, stuff like that. So it's a journey, you know, working from the ground up.
Yeah, I was actually in biotechnology for like almost 20 years. So I see how science and technology is bridging together too.
Oh yeah, it's all connected. That's the beauty of it. Is like I said, for me, I study robotics as an overarch, but the reason I picked that is because, you know, in most fields, they want you to be like very specific, very niche about the thing you pick. They don't want you to study plants. They want you to study this one specific plant that grows in this one town once a year type thing. And that doesn't work for me. I don't want to study just electronics or just computer science and programming or just hardware. I want all of it so I can, it all works together anyway, so I might as well. And it's the same with, they call it STEM now, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And it's because they all feed on each other. You can't really engineer a thing unless you understand the dimensions and how to make it, how to add and subtract from it. With the math, you can't make a robot without being able to give it a nervous system, which is electronics, without being able to give it a brain, which is the computer science and programming, without the body, which is the hardware. So, in the same way, you know, when you talk about other things in science and technology, you can't have one thing without the other because they all grow to the same thing at the end of the day.
All right, then what are some of your other interests?
Mostly that. I mean, I'm a very big book nerd. I'm just a nerd overall. So like I said, I'll, you know, work at Intel doing stuff there. I'll have school as well, but in my free time, I may like code other projects. I'll do data science stuff. So I'll look at statistics, like you know, the government will sometimes put out data about stuff, or I'll look it up myself. Like I want to predict weather patterns. Recently, I worked on a project where a person could put in a link to a job site, and I would make all these like algorithms that would give a resume based off of what you put in as the website. So I need just the link, and then at the end, it'll be like, hey, based off this link and your job experience, we're going to automatically generate you a resume that you can use. So stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's not done though. it works, but it needs like a lot of fine tuning to like before I give it to people to use. But it's something that we're working on, me and my partner. Which I think I have it on my Instagram, or at least a small version. I'll probably put a larger version up, but it's also on my website at aaliyahknight.com. But yeah, you put in like a link from like I think right now is set to work for like usajobs.gov, and then it like will scrape all the important information off and save it. It'll do some analysis to find out the most important keywords and features. Then it'll compare it to like your current resume or like whatever experience you've input it into the website. Run it through all this stuff, and then it'll give you like, here's your resume that you should turn into this job to look like you should work for this job. And that's one of, like, once again, one of the things about technology is it's based around problem solving. With anything in this circumstance, regardless of what it is, whether it's society, personal life, trying to make money, if you see a hole somewhere or you see a problem somewhere, then if you have the tools and the resources, you can fix it. So for us, we saw that, you know, with everything happening in the past year, so many people lost their jobs. It's hard to get back into that field. And so we figured, you know, I know myself, I have like 8 resumes, all tailored for different jobs, depending on if I'm applying for like engineering or technician or software, hardware of different ones. So we figured this might be like an easier way for people to do this. They just put in what they like, put the job description, boom, a resume. And it would save a lot of time and energy on their end and help, you know, bridge that gap of all this unemployment that's happened recently. But in terms of other hobbies and such, like I'm a book nerd, so I read a lot of books. I'm an anime nerd, so I watch anime all day. What else do I do? Mostly those three things. I mean, you know, self-care stuff like exercising and whatnot, but mainly my focuses are like reading anime and then like anything related to science and technology.
Have you did anything far as like with stocks or something or like cryptocurrency?
Not yet.
Any projects?
Go ahead.
Any projects like
with any of that? Not personally yet. I haven't touched too much cryptocurrency just because that's a whole another, it's a whole another shebang. Stocks, I've kind of worked on. I have my own, but I haven't built anything to do it for me. But I do know some people who attend like classes with me who are very, because you know, we all have our specialties. We may all be in technology. Everyone has their thing. Me is space and robots. And one of my classmates, they're very into stocks and finances. So I think when I was working on this resume thing, they were building a stock, I think a stock analyzer and robot, where it would read from like an API of just like pure data. It'd read it in, do analysis on it, and the bot would buy and sell for them. And it wasn't, you know, it's not fine tuned. We're still, you know, we're still growing. These things take time to perfect, but I think it was telling them to do like a contrarian thing where it's like, no matter what it was, do the opposite of what the stock said. And it worked. It wasn't making money, but it worked. So it's something that I have thought about doing, because like I said, the more I go into coding and programming and robots, it's like everything I do, I'm like, oh, there's a better way. It's kind of the downfall of people in tech, is we're always thinking there's a better way, and it consumes you. But I definitely have thought of like, I should automate this, I should automate that, and just make my own life easier. But at the same time, I do want to have that sense of control still. You know, I don't want to give all of my control away of my life immediately if I can handle it.
That's what makes you free, when you give up all control. That's what that dude Igor Tohark was saying. He said he was homeless for a year, and then he was the freest when he was homeless.
I mean, he got a good point. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm assuming you've heard of Merlin, like the old wizard.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep telling myself that's what I want to be in life at the end of the day. Like, you know, people talk about retiring. I would never retire, because at the end of the day, my tools are my mind at the end of the day, and my hands, because I have to make stuff, but it's really my mind. As long as that stays good, I'm good. So I can always build new things all the way up for the rest of my life. Ultimately, I want to just like have a company where I can make inventions, like in that Disney movie Meet the Robinsons. I can just be in my lab, make inventions, sell it to people, help humanity, and then go back to my lab and make some more. And then when I get old, I want to be like Merlin, where I can go off somewhere in the woods or up a mountain. Maybe not up a mountain, it's too cold. In the woods, in my like nice little house, and just do my own thing. Do some alchemy, do some robotics. And, you know, the occasional person can come up to my door, ask for advice, and I can teach them the ways. But that's ultimately it, is we kind of reach this point in technology where you are a bit more free, the more disconnected you are from it, the more tied, it's like anything, the more of your time and energy you give to something, the more it controls you. And we all are, you know, we're all attached to our laptops, we're all attached to our phones, things like to our TVs, but to really like experience like the wholeness of life and to be free and completely in control of everything, you can't always be involved with those type of things. So I do think that's true. It's just a matter of like, I think nowadays is really just trying to find a balance. It's a hard balance to do, because nowadays it's hard to do anything without technology, but it's possible.
All right, shit, you had any more thing, anything else you want to talk about?
And this is the only thing I could think of lastly, is there's a book called Origin by Dan Morse. No. Gosh, I can't remember his name. He wrote The Da Vinci Code. And he came out with this book recently called Origin. And I didn't read any Da Vinci Code books. I just watched the movies because I was like, eh. But this one was different in the sense that it was in our modern times with modern technology. And they were talking about like how you were saying like the robot uprise, but they framed it in the sense of singularity almost, which is this point where technology and humanity meet. And they were saying, you know, over time, humanity has been the highest population on the earth, as well as the most intelligent, right? But over time, there's been this other species that has been coming about and growing, and no one's really been noticing it as a species, but it's technology. I think they called it technia in the book. And it's the fact that, you know, for every human, there's what, even if you look now, I'm sure you could see 2 to 3 pieces of technology within your range just now. Whereas 10 years ago, it probably wasn't even one in the household. And this is something that is constantly growing and constantly evolving to where we're just going to have more and more of this around us. And I like to think of it in a more optimistic way rather than, you know, the robot overlord taking over situation, which once again is possible, hopefully not. But the idea of humanity and technology becoming almost one entity. Humanity can evolve. I do think we're supposed to evolve. How, we're not sure, but I think for us right now, the natural next step is to somehow connect with our technology. Doesn't have to be like putting chips in our arms and stuff like that, or like uploading our brain to the masses. There's plenty of sci-fi shows like Black Mirror and Electric Dreams that give like the downfall of things like that. But I do think that as we proceed forward, we will come into this point of coexistence with our technology. It won't control us. We won't control it. We're just going to live this like symbiotic thing where we're advancing it at the same time it's advancing us. It'll make us smarter, faster, live longer. We'll make it more evolved and smarter. So I think that's the natural progression of things. I think that's really what we should be aiming for in life, or at least with technology, is to make it better for it, but also for us, you know. That's what I have to say about that.
So what is some technology you use right now that improves your life?
My computer. I have 2 computers. The one I'm on is like my Windows normal life computer. And then I have like this computer, my MacBook. It is my child. I mean, obviously my phone too, just because like communication, and it's just handy, obviously. But the growth that I do is through my laptop, whether it's planning out a show, building an app or a website, even a lot of my robotic coding, I probably will do from that computer. So I think that's the one that helps me to grow. And I write articles about technology and tutorials and things like that, about philosophy on this computer. So this is really like my biggest growth thing with technology is this. Overall, from like a human standpoint, though, I think it's the internet. It would, like, the internet changed everything, and it's going to continue to, whether it's connectivity, social movements, whether it's being able to call Uber really quickly, stuff like that. But the only downside to that is, of course, when those things go down or break or mess up, then it makes this upheaval because we're so dependent on it. So I think we have to build a lot of systems that will stop things like that from happening. You know, be careful. Don't drop your computer.
I want to say thanks for coming through politics with me.
I appreciate your time. It was nice talking with you as well.
No doubt. You want to give me your social media?
Yeah. I'm going to tell it to you, as well as I'm going to drop it in the Zoom chat. But you can find me on Instagram at robotgal, which is robotgyal. So if you go there, as I tell people, tech thoughts and thick hair. So I'll be on there talking about how to be a better person, be unapologetically yourself, as well as, you know, thought explosions, philosophy, growth mindset, and then also anything related to technology that happens to come to my mind. And then you can also go to aliahknight.com, and there's just like everything that you need to know about me, as far as how, as much as I've updated recently. And both the Instagram and the website have links to other sites like my GitHub, where you can find code, my Facebook, all the everything else. So I would say to look for yourself or anyone else that's watching that wants to reach out to me about like technology or personal growth, career development, those are probably the